All right, welcome back to Three Man Weave. Coming off yesterday's episode of March Madness, today focusing all in the draft. I'm here with, of course, Enzo Micucci, co-host.
What up?
My name is Brendan McDermott, and we have two special guests: the return of President Paul LaGrippa.
Prez,
how's it going?
Prez is back. Prez, the return, and the debut of our most prestigious guest, most likely we've had in the podcast.
Definitely.
PFF's own Alex Regan. Alex, how are you doing today?
How's it going, everybody? Good to be on the podcast.
Love that. And yeah, you know, Alex, you know, we've had a lot of meetings at the Sports Analytics Club. You know, we had mock draft. We had kind of just an overall draft preview meeting with the Sports Analytics Club. But kind of just love to get your take on some of these storylines going into the draft. You know, first one that has really taken me off guard as a Patriots fan, because this is expected, really impacted my opinion of our draft pick, is what is your take on Jaden Daniels, the hype coming in at pick two? Because personally, if Jaden Daniels gets picked at number two, I would be absolutely elated.
Yeah,
I love Drake May.
Yeah.
I personally think he's much better than Daniels, and the betting odds right now have him as minus 110 to be picked second. What is your take on that, and kind of what do you think is going to happen at two?
So I guess I'll start with my take on, I guess, the two quarterbacks and who I think is the better out of the two. I think that Drake May has the potential to be a Pro Bowler. I think Drake May has phenomenal arm talent and arm strength. He's also a threat on the ground. He has 7 touchdowns on the ground in 2022. Also led all college football quarterbacks in EPA in 2022, which is a huge red sign. He's a redshirt sophomore, 21 years old. But I know a lot of people have a bit of question marks about him. I know that Chris Sims put out his quarterback rankings and had him 6th, which is quite honestly ridiculous. But I do think
he had
is right.
6th?
Yeah, he had him 6th. I do think that there are some things that I am in agreement with him about. I think that he is a bit erratic in the pocket. He is a bit over aggressive sometimes, and his accuracy is very. It could be either he could throw some dimes, or he could just flat out miss. Mm-hmm. But I think that Drake May is securely better in the pocket than Jaden Daniels, and he also has great arm talent, arguably better than Caleb Williams at throwing. But the thing about Jaden Daniels is he's such a threat on the ground. He had over 1,000 rushing yards and 10 touchdowns even. He was the Heisman, and he was also the best deep field passer in the FBS, 20 touchdowns and 0 touchdowns in passes over 20-plus air yards. From my take, I think that Jaden Daniels is the third best quarterback. I think he should go at 3. I think the Commanders are much better set to take Drake May. They have a much better system in the structure. You see that Dan Quinn's coming in from the Cowboys system. I think they're going to try to do something what more of Dak's going to do. They're not going to ask him to do a ton of RPOs. They're going to keep him in the pocket. And also you have Terry McLaurin, Curtis Samuel, and you have Jahan Dotson all in that receiver core. I think it is just much more set up for Drake May to come in with success rather than the Patriots, who are less likely to want to start their quarterback right away.
That's fair.
I think that Jaden Daniels could come into the Patriots, but I think that Marvin Harrison is also a really good candidate for the Patriots to go at 3, because I just don't see necessarily a world where they're going to pick a quarterback and them succeed right away. I think it could be a next year type of thing. Mm-hmm. I would rather them go ahead and take the blue chip number one guy in the draft in Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, I agree. I've been starting to be warming up to the idea of taking Harrison at 3. I used to be very, very cold on it. I didn't think it was the smartest idea to pass up on a quarterback class that has been like as good as this one.
Yeah,
but Marv is like, he's just gross.
I mean, he's
so
good.
He's the best. No. I think he's up there with Chase. Doesn't clear Chase as a prospect, but he's better than, in my opinion, what Chase coming out. And I mean, the 2020 LSU offense, the greatest thing, greatest college football
Literally.
Team ever.
Wow.
Definitely. Yeah, no, Paul, let's hear. What is your take on, you know, the 2-3 picks here at quarterbacks?
I think that Jaden Daniels has a very high ceiling. I'm not saying that it's higher than Drake May, but I feel like where I would take May at 2, is I feel like the running aspect of the game, kind of like where Justin Fields, I know one of his problems was that when he was like looking at the middle of the field, like there would be open receivers there and he would choose to run.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think from a team aspect, that would worry me. And maybe that Jaden Daniels could have a very high ceiling at that second overall pick. I feel like you go with more of the sure bet as you can. And also in regard to Marvin Harrison, I feel like the wide receiver is a very, very low bust rate in the NFL draft, especially at like a position or his talent level. So if you think that you're taking sort of a risk at that 3 pick when teams like the Giants or again, like the Patriots at three. They just need good players. So if you're going to take a risk at three, or if you think it is, I would say just go with the good player.
Mm. Yeah, BPA all the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I get that. Enzo, anything else to say? You know, as a fellow Patriots fan, we have a lot of impact in this debate here.
I mean, yeah, look, I'm right there with you, Dot. I think if the Commanders take Jaden Daniels, I'd be ecstatic. Not that I don't like Jaden Daniels at all. I think he's a phenomenal talent. But I just, when I watch Drake May, especially his, like, clips, he just really reminds me a lot about Justin Herbert. And I've always liked Justin Herbert. I think he's, like, obviously the strong arm. He's a pocket passer. He can run a little bit. And kind of to your point about the mobile quarterbacks, like, I think, especially on the Pats, like, obviously nobody knows what Jerod Mayo is going to do and how that offense is going to look next year. But I just, like, they've never had a mobile quarterback. Like, they tried to do it with Cam.
They did
have some success with Cam, but that fell apart really quickly. Mm. And just to Paul's point, too, like, again, like, these rookie quarterbacks that come in with the legs and the arm, like, yeah, they could, like, pan out like Lamar and be amazing, but, like, that's just it's really hard to be Lamar. And I also feel like, especially in the Patriots' perspective, like, you just want a guy that's going to be, like, we've had so many, like, the past 3 years, like, Mac Jones, like, he had a great rookie season, and then, you know, 2021 he got hurt, there was a quarterback controversy, clamoring for Zappe, even a couple years ago, I mean, there was Stidham, Cam, like, there hasn't been any, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like,
stability?
Exactly. There's not been any stability, and I think, like, that's what really worries me with Jaden Daniels, just, like, him rolling out, getting smacked, and he's out.
He gets hit hard.
Yeah. He's not that big of a dude either, so, no, like, no. I'd really prefer Drake May just to stand in the pocket, develop his arm, because I think that's the formula. But I think Drake May, to your point. But I did want to ask you this about Jaden Daniels. I did hear the Commanders were thinking about, like, the reason there's some speculation around him going to the Commanders is just because, like, he fits their offense more with his ability to run. Have you been hearing anything about that?
I don't even agree with that rumor at all. I mean, I heard that there was one with J.J. McCarthy being argued at, too, but I don't even think what the Commanders did so well last year, obviously it's a much different system, what the scheme we're going to see. But if we're assuming that Dan Quinn is going to come in and put a similar system into the Cowboys, then any rushing threat kind of negates what they're going to do anyways. All right. They like receivers who get open quickly, CeeDee Lamb, and they want some explosive deep threats. That was Brandon Cooks last year, and they have Curtis Samuel and Jahan Dotson to do that as well. I don't even think Jaden Daniels fits the Commanders' scheme at all. Right. He is more of a kind of when he tucks the ball into his shoulder, that the play is dead. He is going to run it no matter what. Mm-hmm. And I think that one of Drake May's best aspects is giving the play second life. I know that's Caleb Williams' whole MO, but Drake May is also in that similar conversation.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And I mean, you know, switching the conversation over from offense to defense, I mean, this draft is so loaded with offensive talent that it really makes you wonder, when do you even take defense? And I mean, I feel like it's such an open debate. Like, who do we have as our first defensive player off the board? Because I feel like it's such a conversation.
Yeah, so I think it's more like the conversation of who can pick a defensive player and would you rather pick defensive player over offense, especially within this draft, and then who are you going to take? In my opinion, I think the best defensive player in this draft class is either between Byron Murphy II out of Texas or Terrion Arnold. I loved both of their films. However, the teams that are going to pick them are in the 10s, at most 8 with the Falcons, and I think they would be leaning towards edge rusher the most. You got the Bears at 9, but I would argue they would want receiver more, possibly trade up for a guy like Romo Dunze. You got the Raiders. The Vikings are 100% taking quarterback. The Broncos 100% want quarterback as well. You're getting into that 13, 14, 15 range where you start getting into the defensive players. In my eyes, I think that Dallas Turner is going to end up being the first defensive player taken, but I have him currently 6th on my defensive rankings. I've got Byron Murphy, Terrion Arnold, Leao Tulatu, Jared Verse, Quinyon Mitchell, and then Dallas Turner coming in at 15 for me. Speaking about Dallas Turner a bit, he has humongous splash plays. You saw the 10 sacks and the 54 pressures that he had. A lot of them on film, especially when he's going up against guys like Ole Miss, Texas A&M, he was dominating some below-average offensive linemen, even had some big splash plays against Georgia in the SEC championship. I just saw a bit of inconsistency He doesn't play with a great amount of power. He does convert speed to power well within his bull rush, but he really relies on his quick speed off of the line of scrimmage and his ability to bend around the edge. Can win in the inside as well, but there is also a bit of run defense kind of lacking. Double teams really negate him a ton. He came in at the combine at 247 pounds, 6'2". Great combine. Great athlete. But he is a bit inconsistent as a pass rusher. And then I would think the next guy after Dallas Turner would either be Jared versus Leao Tulatu, because I think the edge class is going to be looked at as a bit higher than the cornerback class.
Yeah.
Leao Tulatu has a deep bag of pass rush moves, also has great movement, and then Jared Verse just plays with a ton of power, and his bull rush is the best out of the three.
Definitely. Yeah, Paul, who do we have as our first D player off the board?
I hate to be cliche, but I'm going to say it's Dallas Turner, too. I feel like especially if you get into the teens and you can get like a high-quality edge rusher that kind of late in the first round or middle of the first round, I feel like a lot of teams that are going to go best player available would want to add something to their line. So I think that would be like a very good value pick to get an edge rusher that late.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm thinking either Dallas Turner or Jared Verse, and basically for the same reasons. Shout out to Kev, because I know he loves the Texans, and they got the Offensive Rookie of the Year and the Defensive Rookie of the Year. I can actually see I know you said the Bears want to go with the receiver. I could see that, but I could also see them going with one of these guys. Mm. Maybe not as likely, but I think like they do have DJ Moore. They do. I think they just
traded for Keenan Allen, too.
Yeah, they just got Keenan Allen, and they'd lost Mooney. But don't they?
Eh.
Yeah, Mooney's whatever. But,
Mooney played phenomenally without Justin Fields.
Yeah.
When he got there, you know, Justin Fields is a one-read quarterback. And, I mean, I think that's kind of proven by not only the film, but DJ Moore popped off. Nobody else had any receiving yards. But, yeah, I think with the conversation around the Bears, is if they have the opportunity to get receiver, any offense, even if you wanted to argue with left tackle.
Yeah.
Go help Caleb, because Caleb, we're assuming that is the number one overall pick. He's probably going to be it. Mm. Help Caleb any way you can. The proven method to help rookie quarterbacks is to keep on giving them as many weapons as possible.
Yeah.
But defense is also part of the conversation.
Yeah, that was kind of my thinking. I mean, it could go either way. I could see both things. But getting back to this, a shout-out for Kev, I think if the Bears go with, obviously, Caleb, I think he's going to be the favorite for Rookie of the Year when the season opens up for offense. But for defense, like if they get one of these guys, Turner Verse, and I mean they could be, you know, repeating what the Texans did last year. But I did want to shout out an honorable mention to Cooper DeJean,
Adam
Dugene.
White boy magic.
Oh. Yeah, he's a beast. On Iowa, like he plays with so much fire, and he's a physical cornerback, which I really like.
Yeah,
he had 41 tackles last year, a couple tackles for loss. I think his coverage is good, and I think it'll get even better at the NFL level. So I think whoever gets him is going to be really happy. Especially, too, I just found this out. He returned punts last year.
He was the Big Ten punt returner of the year.
Yeah, I mean, this guy's an athlete.
And he's an All-American as well.
And all these corners are just like, you know, you love, like, Jalen Ramsey, he plays with the fire. Sauce Gardner plays with the, like, you know what I mean? They're just chippy dudes, and that's what you want in a cornerback, at least in my eyes.
Yeah,
so.
I guess I could add a little bit more to Cooper DeJean, because I just recently saw his film. The statistics for this year, he only played 10 games. He did break his leg, and that's why he didn't perform at the combine as well. But 37.8 passer rating allowed. He had seven interceptions within the last 2 years. And the thing about Cooper DeJean is I don't think – the boundary is a bit of a question mark, because I don't think he fits in a man scheme. He is very physical, but he plays more off coverage, doesn't thrive the best in press. But 43% completion percentage allowed. Also, good run defender. Solid tackler, punt return, versatility. I do have him as my cornerback three just because I really, really like Terrion Arnold, and Quinyon Mitchell has just massive athletic upside. Ran a 4.33 at the combine, 9.75 relative athletic score. I mean, I was really low on the cornerbacks coming into the draft, and then after watching a lot of film, it's just kind of gotten a lot better, especially with Cooper DeJean, who I think fits best. He really fits best in the slot. I think he is a prototypical slot at the modern day NFL. We've seen like Trent McDuffie, Devon Witherspoon really, really, really thrive early on as slot cornerbacks, and Cooper DeJean could be the next in that conversation.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I can definitely see, you know, Cooper DeJean, amazing prospect. I mean, I can definitely see Turner to the Falcons, but, you know, I wanted to come with a little bit of a different, little bit of a, you know, a little galaxy brain play here. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe the Falcons, you know, they don't go Turner at eight and maybe the Bears go with a receiver at 9. Like, so the Jets at 10. Here's my thing.
Oh, man,
the
that's
Jets.
My team. That's
here's
my team.
The Jets. So I feel like they're, like, so good everywhere. I mean, obviously, we trust in Rodgers. Like, that's kind of the whole season relies on.
Yeah.
And I feel like your team's so good, like, everywhere. Like, you just signed Mike Williams. Like, you got Tyron. I feel like your O-line isn't as much of, like, a weakness anymore. Like, I feel like it's decent now.
Yeah, yeah.
What if the Jets take a cornerback and just have, like, the grossest defense in the
oh,
NFL?
Man. I saw
Cooper
that on Twitter.
Cooper and Sauce back, like, on each side. Oh, that would be...
I
that's
saw
the little galaxy brain play. I could see the Jets
gross
doing
pick.
That.
I saw the Stay Hot podcast. They picked Cooper DeJean at 10. Dude, well, you have Michael Carter II in the slot already. Mm-hmm. He's a top 3 slot cornerback minimum. You have Trent McDuffie, Devin Witherspoon. That's it in the slot conversation. Or you could add in Kenny Moore as well. That Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed are two top. Sauce Gardner is the best cornerback in the league. I don't think in my eyes, it's not a question. It's not biased either. But DJ Reed is also a top 20 cornerback, especially on the boundary. If you want to move Cooper DeJean to safety, I can see it, but it's more the offensive line is hopefully solved. But I'm not convinced. I don't believe Joe Douglas is not the best at building offensive line. Did sign Tyron Smith to only a 1-year deal, so I would love the 3rd-round pick to be offensive tackle. Wide receiver 3 is still not secured, and I think. Right tackle, still a question mark. You got Morgan Moses, but only for 1 more year. You got, again, Tyron Smith, only 1 more year. Quarterback is not on is not a question either. I don't think the Jets are picking quarterback. And then for defense, the only position of need on defense is really safety, but you're not going to pick them 10. So the Jets are really open up to – they could do whatever they
anything,
want. Trade back, pick the guy you want, pick a guy that maybe fell. There are just a ton of opportunities for the Jets at 10.
Definitely.
Wait, just sorry to jump in on the Jets again, but what do you think about, like, Brock Bowers?
Oh, man.
To the Jets.
Don't get me started, bro.
No?
No. Brock Bowers is the best tight end prospect I've ever seen. This dude is...
And, I mean, he's, like, the Jets, like, you have the receivers, you have the running back, you have the
quarterback. You do have Tyler Conklin. Tyler Conklin at 500-some yards as well.
But he's not
Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers led the FBS in the last 3 years, ever since rookie, in yards after catch. He was the highest graded tight end in 2022 with 900 yards, also led the FBS.
Jesus.
I mean, he had a 70% contested catch rate in 2022 as well,
70%.
Which is 70%. It was like, I think it was 9 or 8 contested catches out of like 14 or 13 opportunities.
Jesus Christ.
Brock Bowers he just fits into that Travis Kelce, George Kittle, Sam Laporta, that form of just pure receiving tight ends. Now Brock Bowers, he's a little thin for the position, and he isn't the best blocker, so you can't put him in line all the time, but he is a receiving threat. And if anybody deserves the generational moniker in this class, it is literally Brock Bowers, because he can change the position. He is not a tight end. He's really a slot wide receiver that just has the position of a tight end. He's actually could be a game changing and positional changing player.
Definitely.
I heard that about Evan Engram too.
I know, but Evan Engram was more of that, like, pure speed guy. And that was
some,
like, that
Giants PTSD.
I
right
mean,
there.
Evan Engram was good last. Evan Engram was not bad in the last 2 years with Jacksonville, 800 yards last year.
Maybe it's the team that drafted him.
Yeah, it's true. Now he has such a high catch rate, but whatever.
I know, he came down with a ton of receptions.
Yeah, kind of moving back up to, like, the top of the draft area, you know. Heard a lot about, you know, specifically the Vikings, really. The Vikings trading for a second first round pick, most likely going to trade up. You know, obviously the Vikings are looking to trade up. Any more teams you think are looking to trade up, you know, maybe trade down? I've heard, as a Pats fan, I've heard Pats maybe trading down if they don't like Daniels, which I'd just rather take Harrison if you don't like Daniels, but I could see that happening. Or, you know, maybe, you know, any of the teams, Broncos trading up. You know, what are your thoughts on any potential trade ups, trade downs that could happen on draft?
Yeah, so I've got two or three big trades. You obviously mentioned the Minnesota Vikings, which I think are the most likely. There's a reason why they traded for the 23rd overall pick. They probably want to package it to get a franchise, or quote-unquote a franchise quarterback, within probably the top
big
three.
Big quote-unquotes if it's
I mean, yeah, because you can't determine a franchise quarterback until they get into the room.
Yeah.
So, but I think that there are two other big ones. I think that the Chargers at 5 are pretty much gearing up for a trade down. They got rid of Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen.
Everyone.
They're taking this year as an audit.
Yeah.
And I think that trading down for 2 first round picks, possibly, that is a great move for the future. That has been proven to be a great move for teams like the Chicago Bears, traded down for 2 first round picks. Now they have the first overall pick again.
Yeah.
And I think that the Broncos are another really, really strong candidate for trading up. They do not have a quarterback. Jared Stidham is the quarterback one on the roster right now.
Former
I also
Pats
think
legend.
I also think that Sean Payton really wants to get his guy at quarterback. He did not like Russell Wilson last year, benched him in the last two games. Yeah. I think he wants to get his guy, and if he finds him, probably JJ McCarthy. Then he's gonna go and make the move. I think that he could also be another trade up candidate. Later in the draft, I think that there are some trade down spots. Teams like, I think the Dolphins don't have a defined need where they can move out of their spot. I also think that the Cowboys don't trade down. They never trade down. But they're also another potential one where I think they just need to accrue more picks. And outside of that, I think that this draft is more of we'll see on draft night. I don't see a ton of – there isn't a team that definitively needs to trade up to one now. So it's kind of a we'll see. Like the Giants are another we'll see too if they want to move up for J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Any other trades we forecasting here?
Yeah, so I actually kind of have a bold statement here.
Oh, let's go. Ooh. Let's go. The gross pick, Paul's picks.
I think that the Bears are going to trade back up with that 9 pick.
Ooh. Okay, yeah.
Okay.
I think they might try to slide to get like Malik Nabers or Adunze.
I like that.
That'd be crazy.
And before you mentioned how teams, like it usually helps out when you trade back, just remembering when the Bears trade up with the Giants and the Giants traded back, they ended up getting Kadarius Toney and Evan Neal.
Arguably the worst draft trade of all time for both teams.
I also have one more team that I think maybe not trade up, but still maybe draft a quarterback, but could. The Seattle Seahawks.
I think that
Geno Smith is winding down.
Yeah.
And I think that if they like Bo Nix or anyone like that, that they can, you know, not necessarily in the first round, but take a quarterback.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are kind of my two there. But I definitely do think that the Chargers are going to trade back.
Yeah.
Even though I think they should get Joe Alt. But.
Yeah, no, yeah. He's generational. But I mean, I feel like their wide receiver core is, it's so bad right now.
Yeah,
I feel like you
got to
trade back, get like, you know, like Byron Thomas later on, maybe, you know, more receivers in the second round. And yeah, no, I think Chargers definitely gearing up.
So, I mean, this receiver class is. I think that this receiver class is the best I've ever seen, and I don't think it's there's just so much, not only depth, but there's star power, there's middle of the round, there's receivers everywhere.
Definitely,
you could pick, there is no rush for receivers in this draft, so the Chargers, that's why everybody wants to, you got to stay there for Malik Nabers, you got to do this, that. There are receivers everywhere in this draft.
Yeah, definitely. So any specific trades you look at?
Yeah, I mean, I might get the casual take here, but the Vikings going up and getting honestly, I think I really like the take about we'll see. Like, we'll just wait and see what happens. I think because of how much offensive firepower in this draft is, and just like the quarterback depth, the wide receiver depth. It's just, I don't think anybody really knows what's going to happen. And, like, especially because these teams we're talking about, like, they could go one way and, you know, they could draft this guy and that's a great pick for them. But they could also go the other way and draft another guy and it's still a great pick for them. So, yeah. The only one I can really see is, like, that's really not set in stone, but really likely is Vikings going up and getting their quarterback. So,
I see that. And, you know, with that Vikings going to get their quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, I am just, like, such a non-believer. Like, I would love to know from all three, because I'm, like, perplexed. I don't know why he's going top five. Is there anything, like, what am I missing with J.J. McCarthy? I'm totally confused on what the hype is. like, why?
I am also very indifferent on J.J. McCarthy. I'm not a full-on, like, this guy can't play at the NFL. The winner moniker will carry him throughout the draft process, because, he won the national championship at Michigan. He had what? I think he had let's look at the ranked teams he faced. Ohio State didn't have a touchdown. Penn State, he only had 60 passing yards. Alabama, he did have 3 touchdowns, but he had that one interception in the first drive that got called back. TCU, he had 4 interceptions in that game. In Washington, he had 140 yards and 0 touchdowns. Yep. Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards have made this guy's career into a national championship winning career, also with the defense. Michigan's defense was crazy last year.
Fantastic.
I haven't gotten to my film with J.J. McCarthy yet, but that's something that I absolutely want to do. The one thing that I really like about J.J. McCarthy is his throwing on the run and pocket mobility. He had a 71% completion percentage on throws outside of the pocket. That's number one in this class. But his deep field ability and arm talent is really middle of the pack. He's also kind of a one velocity quarterback. He lacks a bit of touch throwing over to the middle of the field. And you saw a ton of the touchdowns, especially with Roman Wilson. A lot of it was after the catch. A lot of it was really close to the end zone. Blake Corum had 27 touchdowns, and a lot of them were on the goal line. But CJ McCarthy is a very interesting guy. I think he does have potential at the NFL level. He's more of but he just reminds me a lot of what Zach Wilson had coming out. I mean, I pretty much, it's almost
this run up to draft night. Oh,
it's almost a one of one.
Eerie similar.
Both of them had the same height and really similar weight. 6'2", 219 pounds. Zach Wilson was 6'2", 214 pounds. And they kind of had that 1 year, really golden year with Zach Wilson went at number two to the Jets. But yeah, JJ McCarthy is a very interesting evaluation so far, especially looking at the stats sheet. And but he is young. I think he could. I think he minimum needs to sit for a year. I think there is potential. It's just, you would you rather take that risk now or look to next year? Or would you rather pick him over guys like Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix, who are both proven quarterbacks, or even Jaden Daniels and Drake May, who are both, again, proven quarterbacks?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And kind of more on that quarterback sense, do you guys have any surprise teams taking a quarterback? Like, I've heard, you know, some reports coming out, you know, Joel Klatt dropped his mock draft, and he's got Penix to the Dolphins, and I kind of love it. He, like, you know, talking about how he's not a believer in Tua getting them in the playoffs, and I'm a professional Tua hater. Enzo had him on his fantasy team in the big games. Tua would always sell for him. And I personally don't hate that deal, but I mean, I don't know. Penix is so old that it's always tough. But yeah, any surprise teams taking a quarterback that you wouldn't really expect?
I guess what I was saying before is I think that the Seahawks might take a shot on one of them. I think a quarterback that we're not talking about is Bo Callahan.
Shout out, bro. I love that movie, bro.
But, you know, I really do think that maybe the Seahawks or... That's pretty much it from my perspective. I thought of the Titans.
Well,
they have Malik Nabers, and it's just like, I feel like that's not even really a surprise, but I do think that they're going to take a shot too. And yeah. I think, like, just like the wide receiver class, there's so many quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I got one.
So many. Oh, let's hear this. One. Oh, he's got a hot take.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Okay. Let's hear it. I mean, I don't even know if it's that hot, but I got the Giants.
Ooh.
And I think it's, look, obviously we know they paid Daniel Jones a ton of money, and look, we don't know if it's gonna like work out yet. He's been hurt. He hasn't had the best offense.
It's not gonna work.
Probably
out.
Won't.
Probably
it's
won't.
Not working out.
And maybe that's not all his fault, but either way, he might have to leave. And they do have an opt out of his contract. The Giants have an opt out of his contract next year. So, I like, especially with some of these quarterbacks we're talking about, like JJ McCarthy, he's gonna have to sit for 1 year if he's gonna be the most successful. Why don't the Giants in that five spot? Because McCarthy, if the Vikings don't trade up, McCarthy could slide down to five.
Yeah.
Take McCarthy, take one of these guys, and let him sit behind Daniel Jones. And if Daniel Jones is a good quarterback next year and the Giants have success, then, you know, awesome. Like, keep Daniel Jones, let McCarthy be that guy. Kind of similar to what we saw in New England when the Pats drafted Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, different situation, kind of.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick didn't really believe in Tom Brady anymore. We all saw how that panned out. But, look, they got the quarterback, and that was, look, that was, like, what, second, third round? Nobody really knew who he was, and, you know, they let him sit and learn behind a quarterback, and then, you know, they shipped him off to 49ers, and he's not the greatest, but he had a solid career. I could definitely see something like that happening for the Giants. The other thing I do think the Giants could potentially do, though, is, you know, if they draft a weapon, you know, one of these offensive receivers, one of these defensive guys, someone that's going to just, like, boost their – kind of like how Paul was talking about how, like, the Patriots need good players. I think the Giants need good players as well. If they don't want to take a quarterback and they want to take a receiver or someone that's going to help them out on the offensive side of the ball – they could – and Daniel Jones doesn't pan out, like, which, again, he could, and that's great. But if he doesn't, maybe next year they're probably – if he doesn't pan out, they're probably going to have, like, the top three, top four pick anyway.
Yeah.
So then you're looking at Quinn Ewers or you're looking at Shador Sanders. And those – I mean, quarterback class next year might not be as strong
and
as
Carson
this one.
Beck.
Carson Beck, too. I mean, there's some guys next year, too. So obviously the Giants aren't winning a Super Bowl in the next 2-3 years, so – they could definitely wait and get one of these guys and turn around really quickly.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I've got a hot one as well. I do like that Giants one. I think they probably will take one. I don't know if Kev would love that or, you know, resident Giants fan. but I've got one that You know, Alex, I'm coming for your team. I'm going for the New York Jets. Yeah. And I
who
think
are they going
to
pick?
In my opinion, I think it's about if, like, the second round, it, like, if they if it's, like,
oh, we don't
Penix,
have a second round pick.
If Penix trading up for, like, I'm saying one of the tail-end quarterbacks. Yeah, like, because I personally am, like, I do like Rodgers, but his injury history and his, like, his
age,
obviously being 40,
age
coming
40
off an Achilles. I don't trust him or Cousins, by the way. Definitely, very don't love that deal from Atlanta.
You don't
Kirk.
Like that?
They paid a lot, but they just paid him to get in the building.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, I do like them as quarterbacks, but I think that age and injury could be rough. And I think maybe drafting like a flyer on some guy in the second or like late first round for the Jets could pay dividends. Because yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, how much can you trust Rodgers to
be,
not get injured?
The conversation would be who would it be? Because you
fair.
There you. Let's just, we're all assuming Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, JJ McCarthy, all going in the first round.
Yeah.
Bo Nix is going to be 24. Mm. Michael Penix Jr. is going to be 24. Spencer Rattler is 23. Michael Pratt's 23. Jordan Travis is 24. You got a bunch of older quarterbacks. It's more of less of, it's like, who can you even rely on to sit for a year?
That's
I think that next year's quarterback for the Jets, because I'm buying Rodgers for guaranteed one, which is next year.
Yeah.
Maybe 2025. And then after that, I'm not buying into him coming back.
That's fair.
But I think it'll be fine. I mean, it's more of he's one of the best structure quarterbacks. And the athleticism is going down. But again, this is the 2019-2020 MVP.
First ballot Hall of Famer, one of the best quarterbacks.
Yeah. I think he'll be fine. I don't think it'll fall off a cliff, at least this year, hopefully. But I think that this year is more of do everything you can to continue to build around him, and then next year we'll figure it out.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I completely didn't even think about the age. They're all like 23.
Yeah, no, this is a very old quarterback class. I think the youngest, JJ McCarthy just turned 21.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Other than that, it's really Sam Harbin's 25, Tagovailoa's 23,
25?
Milton is 24. Hartman needs to go get a modeling. He needs to go find a modeling agency, bro. He needs to stop playing. Travis is 23. Literally. I mean, there are not that many young quarterbacks outside of McCarthy, and I think that's why there is a lot of appeal, because age in front offices, it matters because of the contract and the timeline with that prospect. Mm. But I think that there is one other team that could pick quarterback, which is the Raiders. I know I already mentioned the Broncos potentially trading up to take quarterback, but I don't see a lot of Raiders conversation around taking quarterback. They signed Gardner Minshew to a 2-year deal, and he's solid, but if they wanted to go ahead and pick another quarterback, I think that Bo Nix maybe fits the system a little bit better than Penix. I don't know a lot of teams that would take Penix, because you'd have to change your scheme a ton. Because left-handed quarterbacks, it's a whole different side of the field that you're working with, and also you have to deal with the right tackles, and now you're blindsided. It's a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
But I think that the Raiders are a team that could take quarterback, but I would more lean off of that.
That's fair. Yeah, I think Gardner's success was more Steichen than Minshew.
Richardson.
Kind of an interesting insight. You were talking about J.J. McCarthy's age. Our advisor, Philip Maiman, I remember he was telling us about a project that he did. And it was actually for the NBA, and they were doing values of prospects for the NBA draft. Mm. And as their age went up, their value, like, it was the value that went down the most when it increased was age. Mm. So these teams that could be having these, like, models, could their value for J.J. McCarthy, because of his age, that could be why he's so high on a lot of teams' boards.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's a good point. And also teams, especially NFL teams, they love winners. If they do not like losers. And a lot of people will say that Caleb Williams fits into that bracket of being a loser, you know, crying after games. Like, you know, the man's just trying to play his football. He's passionate about the game. But teams love winners. That's why we see all these national championship teams getting 8 or 9 players every year. TCU lost everybody.
Yeah.
LSU had the most first-rounders for a college football team. Bama gets drafted every single year. Georgia, when they won a national championship, they had a bunch of first-rounders as well. Teams love winners.
Definitely. You know, we had great draft discussion, but now the real meat and potatoes, three men, welcome back. The best bets of this week, March Madness going on as we speak. And, of course, we've got bets. But real quick, while we explore the data and analytics behind sports, our discussions on sports betting are for informational and entertainment purposes only. Always gamble responsibly. All betting decisions are your own decisions with your responsibilities. To start us off, thoughts, locks, you know, so yesterday we March Madness preview, and you know, I had some hot takes.
Oh,
one
boy.
Of them,
yeah, this is tough.
One of them, this is rough. This is really bad. We, you know, one of them, Max had Kentucky going to the championship, and obviously, Max messed up, and I had New Mexico in the Elite
Max.
Eight. I had my New Mexico Lobos in the Elite Eight, and Enzo, if you could. Pretty sure they lost.
Yeah, they were
first
down
round.
By 16 when we left.
Oh, that's really good.
Done.
So yeah, we're actually not the hottest start to March Madness.
It's how you bounce back.
It is
how
you bounce back, and we bounce back this week. Today, Houston -24. We got a trend here that's really helpful for us.
It's a lot of points.
It's a lot of points, and here's why we're betting it. Teams coming off 20 plus point losses coming into the tournament. 70% against the spread. It's a classic bounce back spot. Houston got blown out in their conference tournament game. I don't know if it's the championship exactly, but they got absolutely blown out, embarrassed. They're going to come in, embarrass the 16 seed. I think they win by 30 plus, maybe even 40 plus. Maybe Houston's putting on an absolute clinic. I love the Houston Cougars -24. Secondly, I've got my TCU Horned Frogs, the 11 seed, I'm pretty sure, playing a 6 seed. A9 matchup, playing Utah State. And I've got them -4. They're just the better team, more talent, more experience. It's that simple. I trust my Horned Frogs to get it done. I feel that they'll shoot the light out of the ball. I think three-point shooting is going to carry them. I'll take my TCU Horned Frogs -4. Any other bets, gentlemen?
I got a little same game parlay.
Oh, here
for
we go. The parlay demon.
Yeah. Yeah, well. People are going to be watching March Madness tonight, but not me.
Oh.
I'm going to be watching.
What could he possibly be watching?
I'm
going to
be watching
folks.
Your Boston Celtics take on the Detroit Pistons. Yeah, maybe some people aren't going to watch that. Only true fans will watch that. But here's a little same game parlay for you. No Jason Tatum tonight. So you know what that means. Derek White game for the ages.
Bang.
I think he goes over on his points, but we're actually taking his over 7.5 assists. He's been dishing the ball crazy dishes the last couple of games, and he's been over that number a lot. So I like that a lot. Over 7.5 assists. Cade Cunningham predicting him to get over 21.5. He'll get his points, especially because I think the Celtics are going to blow this Pistons team out.
Of course.
And even if they don't, it'll be close, and Cade Cunningham has to have points if he wants to make it close. So that's my reasoning there. And then Jason Tatum. Who's the other guy on this team? Jaylen Brown.
There we go.
27.5 points. 27.5 points for Jaylen Brown. And that's going to be three-legger, and that's going to get you plus 460.
Some great odds.
And even if you want to sprinkle this one in, the little...
Zoe Sprinkles.
The white Mamba, as I like to say. Sam Hauser.
Oh,
maybe the white
that.
Steph Curry.
Perhaps.
Coming off a game where he twisted his ankle. Through three quarters, he had 10 triples. He would have broke the Celtics' three-point record. I think it's at 13. He got hurt in the third quarter. He had 10 three-pointers coming back tonight in the starting lineup. His line is probably at, 4.5, 3, somewhere around
probably
there.
Nothing.
Yeah, hammer that line. I mean, all this guy does is shoot. He reminds me a lot of honestly, that kid last night on Oakland, Jack Golke, reminds
that.
Me a lot about Hauser. How they just run around the three-point line and chuck up threes. So if you want to sprinkle that one even more and just, you know, increase those odds a little bit, I really like the same game parlay. And, I mean, it's the Boston Celtics. You got to bet on them.
It's the Boston Celtics.
Yeah. I got one funny one. Grambling State plus 27.5.
Oh, there we go.
Minus 120. Purdue is not a tournament team. They lost last year. And just a little funny little ha-ha pick. But I wish maybe when the game goes a little bit past the first half, I might bet Grambling State money line. Just
because
Purdue is just
Zach Edey is a fraud.
Bro, if Zach Edey was 6 feet tall, he'd be a grocery bagger at Stop and Shop, bro.
He would.
That's Grambling State plus 25.5 -120.
Amazing. Love the Purdue fade.
All right, I got a hot take.
Oh bang!
Oh, yeah,
Paulie's picks.
All right, we're gonna switch it up to women's basketball here.
Oh, let's go.
Oh, yeah.
Fairfield shout out. I know it.
I can smell the pick here.
I mean, Fairfield University women's basketball.
Bang.
Take the money line,
let's
and
go.
If you want to make some money, just pick them to win it all.
Hey, there we go.
All right.
There we go. Probably getting, those odds must be like plus 10,000.
Yeah, but it's easy money.
That's why we bet them. Amazing. We trust
they're
in Nelly.
Going up against Indiana.
We trust in Nelly and the gang to get
Let's
it done.
Let's go.
We're making the upset.
Exactly.
I love that. All right. Great pod.
Yeah, I think that's
great
it.
Great pod, Jess.
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, of course, anytime.
Of course.